Guess what time it is?
It's Spritz O'Clock. Good afternoon, girlies, and welcome back to the Spritz O'Clock podcast, where each week my bestie and I drink an Aperol Spritz while we discuss all things girl talk, navigating your 20s, and our best advice. My name's Amanda.
And I'm Reeves.
And this week we have another guest for you guys. Y'all, I'm so excited for you to hear our conversation with Kenzie Elizabeth, the Dallas-based content creator, podcaster, and entrepreneur. Reeves and I sat down with her last week. And we just had the best conversation. I'm sure a lot of you guys already follow Kenzie, or you're familiar with her podcast House Guest, or her lifestyle brand Friend of Mine. I feel like recently she has just, well, she's been doing content creation for 10 years, but I feel like recently she's really just like entered this new era that's so exciting. And we talked to her all about it today.
I feel like this was such a fun episode to record, especially because Amanda and I have both been following Kenzie for so long, like as long as I can remember following people on YouTube and stuff. So it was really just a full circle moment for me. And I loved the conversation, and I feel like everyone's going to love this episode.
It was so full circle, especially because the week prior, I went on Kenzie's podcast, which is the House Guest podcast, and I talked about all things like planning my own engagement, wedding season. We talked a little bit about like bridal etiquette, bachelorettes. So I'll make sure to link that episode down below too if you guys want to check that out. But before we jump into our conversation with Kenzie, let's get our ins and outs for the week. Reeves, do you have an in for us?
I sure do. So my in this week, I feel like I've been in my entertaining hosting era, and I've been on my Pinterest, like pinning a bunch of, I don't know, like it's springtime. I feel like it's when you want to host. So I have come up with an idea and I'm going to throw a date party at my house because we're post-grad. Like my friends are dating. I feel like a date party is just very fitting. So the theme of it is going to be Boots, Bubbles, and Boys. I'm sorry, I'm dead. Literally, all the girls are going to wear like cute little white dresses with cowgirl boots, and then there's going to be champagne, obviously, and a whole bunch of men. So watch me not even have this date party, but I'm planning on it. And I don't know, I've just really been into the whole hosting dinner party era. So that's my in for the week. So if you're thinking of wanting to host something, do it. Amanda, I know you have an out for us, so give it.
Wait, before I give my out, I have a question. Is Boots, Bubbles, and Boys for singles only?
No, you can come since you're engaged now. You'll be allowed at the door. My bouncer will let you in.
I kind of feel like it should only be for singles. That wasn't me trying to ask to come. Like, I kind of love this idea. And how fun would a party be if everyone there was single? Like, and you were also single. Like, I feel like everyone who's single has relationship fatigue from going to events where everyone's in a relationship.
Okay, that's kind of a good idea. Well, then you can be the bouncer. You and Max. You can be the parents.
The chaperones of the date party. Oh, my God. The
sober monitors.
Oh, my gosh. No. Yes, the sober monitors. Okay, anyways, I do have an out for us this week, obviously. Do you even know me? So both my in and my out this week have to do with getting engaged. So, well, okay, obviously, guys, I got engaged. If you've been living under a rock, if you haven't seen my Instagram post by now, but I did get engaged. Very exciting times. It's been a long time coming, and we'll get more into that when I talk about my in. But my out, I was scrolling on TikTok this morning just looking at engagement rings, even though I'm already engaged. Don't ask me why. And I love my ring. I'm actually obsessed with it. But I was just like, what else out there exists that I didn't know about, like when I was ring shopping? And I forgot about the double halo engagement ring. That shit is the Ray Dunn of rings. I'm so sorry. If y'all listen to the 25 things we learned before 25 episode, you know what I'm talking about, but I'm sorry. That is the Ray Dunn of rings. Like, if someone has a double halo engagement ring, they probably have Ray Dunn in their house. Their house is probably like the Ray Dunn Museum. Like, you walk in there and it's just like Ray Dunn cups, mugs. They have the sign. No, oh my God, you know what they had at their engagement party? The
Ray Dunn sign. They had the Ray Dunn chalkboard.
With the Ray Dunn with the Ray Dunn font. And then the ring that they got and they were showing everybody was a double halo split shank princess cut.
I just like forgot about the era where double halo engagement rings were in. And I'm just like, I don't think I like those. So those are my out. And if you have that, like, this is no shade towards you. I think engagement rings are extremely personal. I'm sure there's a lot of people that hate my engagement ring. Like, my engagement ring literally has blue sapphires in it. Like, that is not for everybody. And I 100% understand that. But wow, I, like, really don't like a double halo. And I really don't like a split shank.
I feel like since I'm so far from my engagement era, I just don't know the names, like all of this ring vocabulary. Like, I'm so bad at it.
I feel like 6 months ago, Max was calling me and he was asking me all of these questions about rings and whatnot. So I literally had no idea. So I had a three-way call with Max and my other best friend that's engaged. And she was giving him the lowdown on like cut, clarity, color, like all the C's. I had no idea. So it is truly like a whole experience. And you've really got to know your shit when you're picking out a ring.
Yeah, it was a big learning curve. I'm not going to lie. I had to do some research. But I will say there's really no reason to research it before it's relevant to you, because I feel like it doesn't take that long to figure out what you want once you, like, see the options. I will say this, though. I'm so glad I, like, didn't pick something trendy, because I remember when everyone was obsessed with the double halo and it was such a big trend. And there was this TikTok video where the girl was like, go off in the comments below, what type of engagement ring did you get if you now hate your ring, and when did you get engaged? And so many people were like, 2013 and I got a double halo, 2014 and I got a double halo. And like all of these people were claiming that at the time it was like the thing to get, and now they're like, why did I do that? Because I hate my ring now. But I just, like, don't even know if it's that trendy. I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like a heart-shaped diamond. I said that on Kenzie's podcast. I don't even know anyone that has one of those. I think they're so ugly. I'm so sorry. Like, I just think it's, like, childish to get a heart-shaped diamond. And I'm not loving the split shanks. Give us an out, Reeves.
Okay, so my out, y'all, I'm feeling really old right now. So, for reference, Amanda and I are both 25. So I feel like I've been in Dallas for like 3 years now, and I feel like it's kind of the time where everyone's starting to kind of move again, and it's stressing me out. Not that I'm ever leaving Dallas, but like legitimately 4 of my friends are moving in the next few months away from Dallas, and number one, I'm like very sad the friend group is dwindling, but also like this is stressful. Like people are moving. Why is this really stressful to me? I'm not moving.
I think it's stressful to you because it's the girls you hang out with the most, if I'm going to be completely honest. Like, I feel like Gracie and Libby are two people you spend so, so much time with, and you guys have been together for so long. You went to college together. Just not having them by your side on an everyday basis, or not having them that accessible to you, is just something you haven't experienced. Like, that hasn't been y'all's friendship dynamic. So I think it's a very natural feeling to feel, like, anxiety over that, or to feel, like, sad about it. I wouldn't beat yourself up too much.
No, I, like, literally feel like I'm about to start spiraling over this move. But I'll be fine.
I do want to say this, though. I think it's just going to usher in a new era for you. And whenever, like, one door closes, another one opens. You know what I mean? It doesn't mean, like, anything's coming to an end. It just means that, like, things are going to be a little bit different.
Well, you know, want to know something really funny? So, I have met a man, and honestly, like, we might start dating soon. I'm not sure, but I feel like this has, like, been a recent thing. It's like maybe he knew Gracie was moving or something. I don't know, but isn't that kind of weird?
I was just thinking about that, and I was thinking about the fact that you and Motorcycle Man have been getting more serious, and it's happening right at the time that your two friends you spend the most time with are about to move away, and maybe it's a sign that like this is about to be you and Motorcycle Man's like era together. Like it's gonna be about y'all, and that's gonna be the primary thing.
So I'm kind of nervous. I'm bringing him to Amanda's having a derby party, and I'm gonna bring him and like show him off on my arm, and it's gonna be like, I don't know, kind of excited.
I cannot wait to meet him. I am so excited. Like, I can feel like a little warm tingle in my body. And I'm like, I just can't wait. Like, I'm so excited. Like, I have physical excitement manifesting in my body to meet this man because I've heard so much about him.
Anyway, so maybe like next episode I'll have another little update about Motorcycle Man. But for now, I'm planting the seed. Watch us be done next week. So stay tuned.
No putting those vibes out there. You guys are going strong right now and we have faith. Anyways, I'm moving on my in for the week. Back to engagements. I got engaged this past weekend, so that is my in this week. I feel like I've been on such a surreal high ever since it happened. I'm going to do a whole engagement recap episode because Reeves had quite the part to play in this whole production as well, and I know she has a lot of like behind the scenes moments and funny little stories that she has to share that I haven't even heard yet, so I cannot wait to sit down and talk about that at a later date. But I'm just so happy to be engaged. I feel like I was telling Reeves, I'm like, it was the best day of my life, and I, as much as I wish I could relive it, I'm also so happy it's over with. Like, I was so ready to be engaged just to have this like behind me and not to have anxiety like every upcoming weekend that Max was maybe proposing and I was like maybe gonna be ugly for it. It's just such a nice thing. I will say it feels great to be engaged, but also so many people have started asking me about wedding stuff. That could have been my out this week too. That like the same day we got engaged, people were like, so what date do you guys think? Like, have you looked at venues? Is it a destination? How long do you want your engagement to be? And I was like, wait, we got engaged today. Like, give me a second to breathe.
I was literally standing next to Amanda and someone asked her that. And I was like, wait, hold up. Like, she just got the ring.
Like, of course I have ideas and I've like fantasized about it, but like, it's not like I have a wedding planner. You know what I mean? It's not like we've like toured anything. It's not like I've like gotten quotes from anyone. Like, I don't know. And also, like, I'm not gonna say something right now just to have to like backtrack later. Like, imagine if I was like, oh, I'm getting married at Versailles, and then like I got a quote from them and it was $1,002,000, and then I like have to backtrack and say I'm not getting married there anymore because it's like too expensive. Like, that would be so embarrassing. I feel like it's better to just announce things once and like one big announcement when you have the plan solidified, instead of like going around blabbing my mouth like, oh, maybe this, oh, maybe that, you know, and getting people excited for something that's maybe not even gonna happen.
My friend is being not like secretive, but my other best friend that's engaged, she's not being secretive, but like she's really leaving it up to the imagination just until like everything is set in stone and planned. And I kind of like that she's doing that because it's not so like you get people excited for one thing and then it's another, you know?
Also, I agree with you. Also, though, knowing girls, like, how they are, I feel like we jump to conclusions as soon as we hear, like, one drop of information. So if she were to tell you, like, the location, then everybody would start, like, fantasizing about the day and being like, oh my gosh, well, the bridesmaids can't wear this color and it couldn't be on this date because then it's going to be rainy, because that, like, it would almost be, like, too much noise probably coming into her ears and too many opinions like from all her friends and family. Like, I feel like it's like you give people an inch and they take a mile, you know what I mean? It's like, I just feel like, yeah, keeping it private is probably the smartest thing to do because you're not going to get so overwhelmed by like everyone else weighing in and giving their two cents. Anyways, but that's my in this week, is that I'm engaged. Yeah, and my out is heart-shaped diamonds, princess cut diamonds, split shank rings, and double halo settings. Sorry. Look, no one listens to this for me to not give opinions. Like, that's what I've kind of like come to terms with. I'm like, I think like I've got to be divisive somehow. So if engagement rings is the topic, so be it. That's all.
I need to show Amanda mine just so she can get like a little refresher. My dream ring. I feel really bad for my future husband. He better be working right now. Working.
Wait, you have to show me another picture. Anyways, enough of that. Let's jump into the episode with Kenzie, and I can't wait for you guys to hear this conversation. Hello, Kenzie. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited.
We're so excited to have you. This is a very full circle moment for Reeves and I because we have been watching your content for years.
Amanda, we need to talk about something. You never even told me that about the podcast. Like, Amanda just came on my podcast, and little backstory, not to take this off, over, and then you post this TikTok that's like, oh my god, I've been listening, I've like known this forever, blah blah blah. I didn't even know that. I would have said something and like made it cuter.
Wait, did I not tell you that?
I don't think so.
Maybe I didn't. I thought we had talked about that at some point, but maybe we haven't.
No, we have not.
No,
because
okay.
I would have made it cuter.
What do you mean cuter?
I would have just been like, oh, this is like so sweet. I literally had no idea.
Okay, well, I used to listen, like still do listen to Kenzie's podcast, but when I was in college all the time before I was ever even posting on TikTok or Instagram, I've always been a huge podcast girl and I loved your podcast. I would listen to like every...
Me too.
Every episode. Reeves would too. I mean, like, I feel like you really have one of the OG, like, really like best for the girls podcast. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, guys. That was also a very different phase of my life, but thanks.
Well, it was a good one. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today too. I feel like you've had so many different eras. Mm-hmm. So for all the Spritz O'Clock girlies listening and watching, I kind of want you to explain to them like your origin story, where you're from, how you got started in influencing podcasting. You've been doing this for a really long time, like longer than most 26 year olds though, like longer.
I started when I was 16. Like, I started on YouTube 10 years ago now. So I grew up in Texas. I grew up like 35 minutes north of Dallas. I started a YouTube channel when I was 16, and that was really going into, I want to say, my junior year of high school. And at that time, it really mattered to live in LA when you were on YouTube. There was a whole, like, probably honestly like 4 or 5 year period where living in LA was very beneficial for your career. Now I don't feel that way at all, but I was just like ready to go. So I moved out my senior year of high school. I graduated early and then I started college early, but I needed to be out there a year prior so I can gain residency so that my college would be cheaper. I ended up, fun fact, getting a bachelor's degree for like $26,000 total. Is that not insane?
That's insane.
Wow. So it ended up working out, but yeah, I was out in LA doing my YouTube channel. I ended up going to like a really weird school, but that 2 years, it was part internship. So like, I basically like couldn't do anything else besides that. I was still posting YouTube videos and like I started the podcast during that time, but it wasn't by any means my main focus. And then, so when I was 21, I think, is when I started the podcast, which is formerly known as I Love You So Much Podcast, now House Guys Podcast. And I started with Dear Media. I didn't even know, at that point I had a YouTube network, but I had no idea what a podcasting network was. I didn't even know anything about podcasting or like the business back end side. And I emailed them just because I was curious. And then I ended up being their first show that they signed, or their first show that they... that was born through the network. So that's, I was like awesome. The seventh show on the network, but I was the first one that was like Dear Media born.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you just emailed them out of the blue and were like, hey, can I be on your network?
Yeah, but I think it definitely helped that I had following prior to that. And not that Dear Media is really cool because they're way more interested in the story than they are someone with a following. But I think at that point, like, I always like joke with Michael about this, but Michael, like, we were in a meeting and he was like, this is either going to go really well or it's going to completely flop and no one's going to listen. Like, he was like, it's going to be one or the other. We just don't know, because I was so much younger than obviously most podcast hosts, which is like delusional in itself, because like, I was just so young and I was like, yeah, I have something to say. It's like, I literally had nothing to say, you know, like, I literally had quite nothing to say.
No, but I think people want to hear from someone they can relate to, someone that's their own age. Like, people don't want to be talked down to all the time, which I feel like, personally, as a 20-something girl, when I'm listening to podcasts and it's like people in their 30s and their 40s and they have everything in their life figured out, it can come off sometimes as like
preachy.
Yeah. But hearing from someone like you, it's way more relatable and way more just like transparent and not so filtered all the time, not so perfect. And I think people appreciate that. I think that's why it worked.
I think it worked too for that reason. And I knew what people my age, even though I was not living like a traditional like college experience and I wasn't really taking like a traditional route, I still knew like the things that people were like struggling with or confused about, because that's the same stuff I was. Mm-hmm. So it helped when it came to like getting guests on and stuff, because I knew like it was just kind of almost like, honestly, it was kind of like selfish in a way, because I was curious about things and I was already having these conversations because I'm like very talkative and I'm just really curious. So I was already having these conversations like off air, and then I just ended up like putting into a podcast, and it did end up working, thank God. But we really did not know at the beginning. We really were like, I guess we'll see.
That's crazy. You would have never guessed that. Like, I know. Always thought you were like, sure, it was gonna work out.
Well,
I don't know.
It's not that I do have this delusional, like, sense of confidence to where I do, I am very, like, my dad instilled that in me growing up. Like, my dad, I always say he's, like, a, if you know what Emmylet is.
Mm-hmm. I love Emmylet.
I love Emmylet. My dad is Emmylet. Like, my dad is very emotional, very into self-development, mm-hmm. personality-wise, mm-hmm. even the way he talks, like, their interests, like, they're just very similar. Mm-hmm. And my dad wasn't an entrepreneur, like, most of my childhood, but always, like, wanted to do that and ended up like going out and doing stuff later, but he's always just been into like personal development and stuff. But I grew up with a dad who literally thought I could be president if I wanted to be. Like, he was very supportive, so I don't know, he just instilled like a very strong confidence. So it's like, I joke saying, we don't know if this is gonna work. I would have just pivoted and made it work, you know, like, mm-hmm. in my head it was always gonna, like, we were gonna do it. But you just never know at that point in podcasting, because it was before, like, everyone and their mother had podcasts. It was, like, maybe 3 months before everyone launched podcast. Like, everyone else in, like, my, like, bubble thing. So we were all in the same period. So we didn't, like, have people to look to think and yeah. see, you know?
Yeah. I think that was a blessing, though, because then you weren't trying to be something else. You were just out there being yourself. And mm-hmm. a lot of times that's what translates the best. I love that your dad is Emmylet. I think dads would be friends. My dad literally is very Emmylet. Much like that, too. Yes. He's so into, like, personal, you know, self-growth, personal development yep. stuff. Like, he was always telling me growing up, like, oh, you can be a movie star, you can, you mm-hmm. know, be a reality star, blah, blah, mm-hmm. whatever you want to be. So
I think does your dad send you, like, motivational Instagram reels all the time?
My dad does.
Every day. Every day. And sometimes, like, because my dad now, like, owns Med Spa, and sometimes he's on the Med Spa Instagram sending them. And I'm like, I feel so uncomfortable that, like, some girl's running this Instagram and, like, can see our DMs right now for some reason. Like, I don't know why. But it's always, like, 12 things I wish I would have done in my 20s. 5 ways to do. Like, it's all, I mean, every single day.
I'm up with dads and Instagram reels.
It's men and Instagram reels. It's not even just dads. Like, I was saying the other day to Macy, I'm like, the best part about when you either break up with a guy or stop talking to a guy is that you're not getting those dumb Instagram reels anymore. You know?
You're so right.
They're always dumb. Like, besides what my dad sends me, like, guys that I've talked to, like, I've never once been sent an Instagram reel by a guy that I was romantically interested in and thought, yep, I needed to see that. You know what I mean?
So no true. My life. That is so true.
Wait, I'm cracking up.
My dad doesn't have Instagram, so I don't know how he would behave on that app, but I'm kind of, like, grateful that he doesn't, because I know it would be super unhinged somehow. It would be, like, really scary.
He would be sending you Instagram reels.
Oh, for sure. For sure. He loves a good quote, though. Like, mm-hmm. growing up, like, my parents would always put, like, quotes in my lunchbox and yes, stuff like that on a post-it note, you know? Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay, speaking of men and your Instagram reels, are you dating right now? Like, what's the update?
No, like, I mean, I always act like I haven't dated at all in the past, like, 3 or 4 years, and that's not true, but I'm not dating now. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Honestly, it's gonna have to, like, fall into my lap. Like, I don't have time, guys. I have, like, so many hobbies happening. Like, I'm busy girl. I don't have a social life anymore. Like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. It's not even, like, the workload. It's literally my hobby workload.
Like your needle pointing.
Yes, my needle pointing, my gardening, like, my cooking, my reading. I'm busy. Like, I'm really busy.
You are busy.
My family would always joke with me when I was, like, not in my dating era, and they were like, I think he's just gonna have to be your delivery driver. Yeah. Like, he's gonna, like, literally show up at your door.
I so agree with that, because you're also so insanely busy. I don't know how you're finding the time for men.
No, like, me either. We're always gonna find time for men, but, like, I don't know.
No, honestly, I don't even find time. Like, I have to figure that one out. You know what I would like to do? I would like to find someone who flips houses. That yeah. is, like, my okay. ideal partner. Like, because I grew up, like, my mom, so many people in my family are interior designers. And now my parents are into, like, a bunch of rental properties, and we just have always liked redoing houses. And people who flip houses don't have, like, I don't want to go to someone with a 9-to-5 because I don't have a 9-to-5. And, yeah. like, I don't want that to, like, mess up my schedule and, like, work. I can just leave town when I want to. I want them to be the boss is basically yeah. what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be a really good thing. And I don't want them to, like, be known at all. So, like,
okay,
that's the other thing.
Flips houses, uh-huh. no social media presence or fame mm-hmm. aspect whatsoever. Yep. No 9-to-5, can travel whenever mm-hmm. and is the boss.
Yes, pretty much. And very family oriented and mm-hmm. Outgoing.
Okay, we're taking submissions. If so anyone has, like, a brother or a friend that fits this profile. Mm-hmm.
One time, I just remember this. This is probably 2 or 3 years ago when I was going out all the time. And this girl kept DMing me that she really wanted to set me up with her brother.
Wait, I love.
Okay. No, I know, but it was just
wait, like, I would think that was so creepy. No offense to the girl.
No, honestly, she was like cute and she was sweet. Okay. But she could be, I guess it could be creepy, but it wasn't at all. But she was like so nice. But again, like, I don't want like a typical like Dallas guy who's like going out all the time and like this. Those are my friends. Like, yeah, I'm not dating them. You know, like that's not like really what I'm looking for. And yeah, so I was like, I mean, it's not going to go anywhere, but it was like sweet that she did that, whatever. And I accidentally went to his house one time for a pregame, wait, having no idea.
What?
And she was there.
Wait, now what were the odds?
She, it was actually through like a mutual friend. So I didn't know, obviously. And she came up to me and it was like so uncomfortable. I was like, oh my God, I literally like have to leave. Like, I'm so sorry. But I had no idea. And then of course, I mean, everyone was
she
drunk.
She comes up to you and does she tell you like, hey, by the way, I'm the girl that DM'd you about my brother.
What happened was she came up to me and asked me if I, she's like, oh my God, you met my brother. And I was like, oh, like just thinking, cause I was like, look, my biggest fear ever is like, if I met someone before and then I like totally forget, like I have very rarely in life done that. And it's like haunts me to this day. And I'm generally really good with like faces to names. Like if I meet you once, like typically it's like, okay, unless I'm in a really bad mental state, like I'm pretty much fine. So I was freaking out thinking like, okay, I'm so confused. Like, I haven't met this girl. And everyone was drunk. Like, I had just gotten to the pregame, so I wasn't drunk yet. And then, like, she's like, I'm the girl DM'd. Like, we figured it out. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'm with him. And then, like...
Did you talk to the guy at all?
It was not going anywhere. Yeah. It was... I mean, he was, like... He was great. It was just, like, we were not... Yeah. You know, like...
It wasn't gonna work.
Yeah. But it was sweet.
That is crazy.
Maybe one of these days it'll work, though.
Yeah. Maybe he's like in his house flipping era and he doesn't have a 9-to-5 right now.
He'll come back around.
He'll come knocking on your door.
I feel like you need someone older. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I feel like that.
Like you're very mature.
You're very mature. You're going to need someone who's a few years older than you just to match your maturity level. Also, guys are automatically less mature than girls. Like but a 26-year-old guy.
I've done like 11 years older than me. And I never thought I would do that. And it was the least mature guy I've ever been with. So it's like, I do need older, but I just need a guy who's mature. Like, I think a lot of it, like, I was focusing so much on like, I didn't want to go that much older. Like, I wanted it to be like 3 to 5 years older. And he was probably the worst of all of them. But also, like, there's a reason if you're, like, 36, 37 and single. There's a reason. Yeah. And a guy, there's a reason that you're single normally. So, we'll see.
That's interesting. Maturity does not equal age and vice versa.
Everyone, I feel like, is dating younger now, too, so.
I love a younger man.
Well, we know Reeves likes that.
He's like, maybe don't do that. Like,
it doesn't work, but it's fun. Like,
I continue to do it.
Okay, I swear we're going to get off the dating topic, but I'm so curious about this. Uh-huh. Do you feel like being an influencer and being single makes dating easier or harder? Like, do you feel like it... do you feel like it sabotages your dating life at all? Or, like, guys are worried about that at all?
Yeah, so I really live by the mentality that, like, you only have to get it right once. I don't think in Dallas it's a benefit to me by any means because they don't want that. So I don't think it's, like, helpful. But, like, I don't want to be with someone who doesn't think it's cool. Or, like, not the following part of it is cool, but, like, the business part of it. So by no means here do I think it's, like, a benefit in dating. But I don't, like, think about it in the way that it's, like... I don't think it's, like, keeping me from my person because I don't think that my person would be like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? But, no, I don't think it's, like, helpful by any means.
Yeah.
But it also kind of is because it weeds out the guys that I don't want in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
Wait, that's so true. I never thought about it like that. I'm always just wondering that because I started my online journey after Max and I had been dating for 2.5 years. Like, we had been together so long. So he's seen, like, both... versions of me, and I always wonder, I'm like, if I was single, like, I wonder if I would, like, struggle with sharing my life online and also, like, dating at the same time, and I wonder if guys would, like, find that attractive or not attractive or all that stuff.
There was dating advice that I heard once that I think is, like, probably the best dating advice I've ever heard as someone who really hates to hear it. They were talking about on the apps how you need to be very, very specific and you are not trying to appeal to the masses. You're trying to appeal to the people that you would like or that you would have common ground with.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, she was giving examples. She's like, let's say you're a cat person. Like, put that on your Hinge. Like, things that people might find off-putting, but the right person will find right. And I think that, like, outside of the dating app world, like, just taking that in life, I think you want to be, like, very specific almost. And you're not... my goal is not to, like, appeal to the masses. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's, like, beneficial, but, like, whatever.
That's good advice.
That's good advice. I feel like that's also applicable to posting online too. Yeah,
true.
Like, you don't want to just always appeal to the masses. You kind of need to weed out people. Like, whenever you're posting on TikTok or Instagram, like, you want to have something that's really true to you, and like, you want to have the authenticity element, even if it offends people or makes people unfollow you. Yeah, it really is in a lot of ways. I don't know, I think you have to have a little bit of controversy, so it's only healthy.
Like, knock on wood, but yeah
a little bit, not like cancelable amounts.
Yeah.
Cancelable, I don't know if that's a word. Whatever.
It is.
Okay, so we talked about how you have a lot of hobbies and you're too busy for men. Mm-hmm. Walk us through, like, a daily routine for you. Like, what does Kenzie being busy really look like?
It depends, like, day to day. Also, I have a brand friend of mine, and that is, like, largely where I'm spending my, like, day to day. Because a lot of my YouTube videos are me vlogging my life and podcasting, I'll batch record. So I'll go, like, I'm going to LA for a week next month, or for a week next month, and I'm in studio, I'm recording, I'll probably record like 15 episodes in a week.
Oh, wow.
But I go on to people's shows too. And then I'm doing the same thing in New York. So it really just depends day to day. But I wake up. It depends on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I weight train. So I'll wake up, I'll like go on a walk, I'll do my whole morning routine, I'll go weight train, and then I'll come back, get ready. On Tuesdays, I have two girls that, I have a lot of people who are like on retainer, not a lot, but I have like people who are on retainer that I'm working with. And then I have two girls that I directly work with like the most. So we'll do like our weekly like touch base, going through all of the like community aspects, the socials that are being posted, the edits for the podcast, all that stuff, depending on... It really just depends, because then sometimes I'm in, like, fulfillment meetings, sometimes I'm in production, sometimes it's, like, new designers. Right now, I'm in the process of hiring a lot of different people. Like, I even just hired, like, a Pinterest manager. I just started a site. Like, I'm trying to get to the point.
It's exciting.
Pinterest? What are you doing on Pinterest?
Listen, so I have realized, I had this big wake-up call recently. I also heard Laura Bostic on a podcast today say that content creation takes about 5% of her time. And I'm not anywhere near 5%, but I actually agree with that. Like, that's the least of, like, what I do. Even on, like, the back end, like, optimizing things, like, I want, like, my content creation to get down to 5% because I'm doing all the other things and then I'm delegating. But, yeah, Pinterest. So what I've realized is that, like, blogs and websites are incredibly important because you need SEO. Like, I had no SEO for 10 years because I didn't have a blog, right? That helps a lot with sales, helps a lot with, obviously, searchability, obviously, discoverability. That's how you grow. Like, I did a call with one of my friends who, she's, like, a business coach, and she took me through, like, The Skinny Confidential, Martha Stewart Living, like, all the back end of their website, and showed that, like, 1% of sales are coming from social media and the rest of it is, like, internet. Like, it's just, like, crazy things that you would see.
What?
But you need social media because a lot of it is conversion, but also it's awareness, and you need, like, you need it regardless. Yeah. But anyway, so I started a blog, and then, like, the Pinterest is important for, especially with, like, my honestly, any of, like, our content would perform really well on Pinterest. But this girl that I knew from, like, an old thing I used to work on, she reached out, and she's just like, man, if you guys need her, I'll connect you. I've connected, like, three people with her yesterday. We literally haven't even started working together, and I've, like, already connected her with so many people. But she's just running it, so it just helps with, like, discoverability.
I love Pinterest.
Love Pinterest. And I love Pinterest, just, too. Honestly, all the time, especially with, like, gardening and cooking. Like, and also, I don't know what, like, friend of mine would thrive on Pinterest. But I just, like, I mean, I'm only 6 months in and I don't have time to do everything. So anyways, it just depends on the day. A lot of it is, right now, I feel like I'm just trying to get, like, really organized and, like, delegate better so that I'm able to, like, run everything in, like, a more productive manner. And then, like, sometimes we'll be filming, podcast recording. I'm always having to, like, send in all that stuff. And now that I've hired people, though, I'm able to, like, not be on my laptop as much, like, sending, like, pitch emails, like, things that just, like, someone else can do, and I can get my time back and, like, be more. It's been very helpful on, like, the friend of mine in. And then after work, I'll work in the garden. I will cook a meal.
How did you get into cooking? Because I'm trying to really get into it, and it's not working. Like, nothing's sticking.
I think the gateway drug to cooking is soups. Like, you have to just start getting into soups because they're so easy to make. And you can make soups that aren't boring, like, when you're like, oh, I don't even like it. Like, you can make some that are, like, really creamy or, like, meat heavy or
I've made a soup that you posted before, that tortellini
kale one. Yes, that is the best soup ever. I always tell people to start there. But once you start and get into the routine of it, I always recommend those, because they're like the, I have like an easy bolognese that I do for the modern proper. That's so easy. But once you start doing it and then you start enjoying it, then you start like trying different things out. But I was sticking to those for like the first probably 2 years.
Do you grill stuff?
Yeah, so I did get a grill last summer and I got really into it. The issue is that like it's already, you know, 110 degrees out here. Yeah. So
you're pouring sweat out there.
Yes. I was thinking about that. I'm like, I should have started grilling like a month ago. And because a month from now will be done until fall. Mm-hmm. Like I do grill in the summer, but it's just so hot.
I tried to operate a grill on the 4th of July in Dallas. Oh.
So hot.
I thought I was going to die.
No. But here's the thing about grilling, and this is why men have taken it over. Grilling is the easiest thing you can do. Like, when I started grilling, I couldn't believe how easy it was. Like, I called my dad, and I was like, are you sure? Like, this is it? Like, are you positive? And he's like, yeah, no, it's like a pretty simple thing to do. I'm like, no wonder they, like, gatekeep that. Like, they act like it's some crazy big scale. I'm like, sure, some smoking, there's certain things where, like, yeah, I mean, some are obviously better than the others, but, like, it is so much easier than cooking. It is so much easier.
I've got to get a grill.
And I know. I'm so better inspired. On a grill. Mm-hmm. So then you're like good to go.
So much better. Like salmon on the grill.
So much better.
Steak on the grill. Mm-hmm. So much better. I don't even cook those things because I'm used to my dad grilling it home. And now when I make it here, I'm like, I don't want salmon from like the oven.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yuck.
Do you have a grill? You should get one.
No.
You should get, I have the Next Grill. It's like really inexpensive and it like looks nice and it's a great grill. But it's, like, cheaper. My mom had one at our lake house, and she's, like, it's my favorite grill I've ever used in my life, and it's the cheapest one we've ever had. So I got it, and I'm a huge fan of this one.
What's it called?
It's a Next Grill. Five burner, five panel, whatever, the five one.
I don't know. I'm still trying to learn to work the crock pot, so.
I got her a crock pot for Christmas.
That's a great gift.
It really was. I made, what did I make this week?
A roast.
Pot roast. And it turned out so good. I was so proud of myself.
That is actually, like, that's a really hard thing to do. Honestly, you should be, like, proud.
It, like, wasn't, but. It was to me, but it wouldn't be to anyone else. So I'll be proud of myself. I did have to buy a chuck roast though, and I don't think I knew what that was before I had to ask a little like central market man like what a chuck roast was. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I got Instacart for that reason alone. You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to make sure I get this right. And like I need someone else to do this for me.
That's so accurate.
Like buying
so accurate.
Yeah. It stresses me out.
Ooh, I hate it.
I'm a butcher box girl. I don't think I've literally ever worked with them in my life either, and I'm like their number one fan. But I use butcher box for oh my god, it's amazing. The meat is better. It's better for you. It's grass finished, which is like a big difference. I mean, it's like all of the buzzwords that you need, whatever. But it just tastes better, and it arrives at your house.
I've seen it.
I love that.
All over social media, being promoted by influencers, but I've always kind of put it in the same category as like a HelloFresh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so maybe it's better quality.
Yeah, it's different. It's different. It's a really high quality meat. It's just better. Like it's interesting. Really great. I'm a huge fan.
Okay, I'll have to try that out. I feel like friend of mine, going back to your brand. Sorry, I've just been thinking about this as we've been chatting.
By the way, I meant to bring home nightcap cards and I texted you about it. And then I realized I don't even have them. They're sold out and like I don't even have any extra in my house. So I'll get them to you after. Sorry.
Kenzie, okay. I think it was the first drop, just like the regular dinner cards. I got that as a Christmas present for my cousin Caroline. And it's like her favorite thing.
Cousin that just put the wholesale order in?
Yes.
Okay. Oh yes, I just got that email. Oh my God. I love that.
Because I was like, yeah, she's supposed to be here right now. She's in Dallas. And I was like, come meet Kinsey.
Mm-hmm.
She had to work, but anyways.
Yeah.
I was like, it's just a
friend of mine is so, I don't know the best way to phrase this, but like the most like on brand for you. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like you've had a lot of different entrepreneurial ventures with, you know, merch and stuff like that. And I'm just so happy with friend of mine. Like, I feel like it's so Kenzie. Like, this is really the one.
This is like what I wanted, even with our like prior line, which it was just not the right fit for me. Like, that wasn't really even what I wanted to be doing. Like, I wanted to be doing this. And it is just, I mean, I wanted to do a recipe journal for the longest time. Like, I've had that pen, even we were trying to do it when we were doing a bunch of like Breadwinning Housewife merch. I was trying to get it done then. Like, that is how long, and that was like 2 or 3 years ago. So a lot of the stuff that I'm now coming out with are things that have been like in my head for 3 years that I've been trying to get done in other avenues, but thank God I didn't, because now it's all, and even like doing, like, now we have, like, the Friend of Mine Social Club, so it's, like, the Dallas dinner party. You guys should come to the dinner party. So we have one on the 18th.
Oh, yeah, we should go.
It's, like, a community one. It's not, like, an influencer one. But, yeah, they're just, like, so, we're going to start doing, like, needlepoint clubs. Like, we're doing things like that where people, like, come.
I can see.
Like, so fun, right?
Me and Reeves love needlepoint, you know this.
None of my other friends, like, Amanda, you're the only other friend I have that really needlepoint. So I was like, you have a needlepoint party. It would just be me and Amanda.
No, we need to do, outside of the Friend of Mine thing, like, needlepoint nights. Like, I've done that with Macy and her friends. Because, like, I was needlepointing, and it wasn't cool. And then Macy met these other girls out. And then they became her new best friends overnight. And they were needlepointing. So then suddenly she was needlepointing. That's, like, really actually how it went down. And then we all started, like, we did, like, a little needlepoint club night, and it was so much fun. But, like, you sit around, you needlepoint, you, like, get advice on your projects, and you gossip. Like, it's literally the best thing ever. It was so much fun. We need to start.
It's the best vibe.
I went to a needlepoint class at one of the places in Dallas. Yes.
Yeah, same. And I saw them post a photo of you recently, actually.
Oh, and I was on my phone. I said it to my mom. She goes, you're on your phone at the needlepoint class.
I didn't even notice that.
And it was, like, a bunch of little old ladies, mm-hmm. and I was talking about Tommy Paul, and I was like, yeah, I have a crush on him, like, I'm tennis.
That is so funny.
Like, little old ladies.
Little old ladies knew who you were talking about?
Yeah. They were tennis girls.
Go Tommy.
I took my grandma. That's how I got into it. Was my grandma wanted to go. My grandma has been a seamstress her whole life. Like, my mom and her owned, like, a bedding and drapery company, and she was a seamstress. And so she's just, like, into that stuff, and she wanted to get into needlepointing, and then I got invited by Dallasites to a chaparral event, and then I was like, they do classes, so I took my grandma, like, for her birthday, and it was, like, a Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. It's, like, your unemployed friend, you know? And it's me and my grandma and all of these women, like, over the age of 60, and it was, like, they were so fabulous. It was everything I needed. It was such a good morning. Like, I love hanging out with people who are, like, 50 years older than me. Like, that's, me too. Like, my preference. Yeah.
I love it.
I'm obsessed. Okay.
I love the elderly.
I really do. I
can't say I favor them over other age groups, but
see, I do. I'm kind of ageist in that way. Like, I only want, like, the old people. You know what I mean?
I think I don't know how to talk to them sometimes. Like, I don't know why.
See, I'm the opposite. Like, I know how to talk to them, but then, like, sometimes it'll be, like, people my age, and I'm like,
yeah,
what's up?
And the thing about old people is that they just think it's so funny and cool that you care to talk to them, mm-hmm. or you're interested
that's
in
so
them
true.
Or even the fact that you're doing something that they're doing, it's just funny to them, so it's actually really easy, and then they love you. I mean, if you need a confidence boost, like, you need to go hang out with someone who's old.
That is so true.
It's a good piece of advice.
Okay, who wants to be my friend? 50 plus only. Like,
put an ad out on your Instagram story.
They're always telling you you're so pretty and skinny, and I love it.
Like, they are always saying you're so skinny. They're like, oh, just appreciate it now. Yeah, I remember before I had kids, blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's also crazy because, like, they get smaller as they get older.
Yeah,
it's
like, what? You're literally withering away.
It, like, really does show the difference, though, in, like, times that they grew up in, because that's just, or even just, like, households that they grow up in, and, like, the importance. Like, it's so much more, I at least find it, like, more prevalent in, like, people who are older.
Oh, 1,000%. Mm-hmm. I feel like no one would comment on your weight now.
Yes.
Like, ever. If anyone's ever commenting on my weight, it's someone who's over the age of 50.
Yes.
For sure. Like, for sure.
Yes.
Because nowadays, I feel like it's not a compliment. It's kind of like, why are you bringing that up?
Yeah.
For sure. Agreed. For sure.
That's funny. Okay, going back to Friend of Mine again. What would you say has been, like, the biggest challenge for just, like, making these products, or just a challenge you've had?
Inventory, for sure, which is, mm-hmm. like, obviously a good problem to have. I just didn't, I mean, we sold, when I bought our first batch of recipe journals, that was, like, triple what I would have bought for our clothing line, mm-hmm. and it sold out, like, really quickly. So, like, in 6 months, I could not have even imagined how many products would, like, people would, like, care about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's niche. It's a better price point. It's very, yeah. like, specific. So the main issue has been actually, like, keeping things in stock. And then the second has been, like, needing to delegate. Like, I'm going to need, obviously, like, full-time hires as well, like, in the next probably, like, 6 months. And that is scary because, like, running, like, I do run a team, but they're not full time. Like, a lot mm-hmm. of them are, like, on retainers, they're freelancers, they're certain, like, or they're part time. Like, I don't have, like, full time. Like, being a boss in that sense is, like, gonna be like, I think by far the hardest part. But I would definitely say, like, keeping up with the inventory and then hiring out mm-hmm. people. But I did just hire a publicist, which is, like, exciting because it's really helpful for, like, it sounds, like, so pretentious and annoying. Like, I hate saying it out loud, but it's really helpful on the brand end, like if you see any brand that's being like, is like, has write-ups all the time or is an editorial, mm-hmm. like they have a publicist. It's not just like, it's very rarely, like I've had stuff that's randomly there, but it's not like consistent. Mm-hmm. And that's just because it just happened by chance, but they all have publicists. Like that's how it's happening. And then I'm really trying to get a social media agency. Carly, who's been with me for like 5 or 6 years, is like head of community. So she does all the like events and stuff. And then, yeah, I just like I need someone honestly who's like over ops, like big time. That is just not my area of expertise. Mm-hmm.
That's so exciting though.
Very it exciting. Is, but it's like scary. Like it's very like overwhelming.
Yeah. You it's know? Like, you're like, oh my gosh, I wished for all the success. And now that it's here, it's like a lot to handle.
Well, I think if it was like the only thing I was doing too, it wouldn't be as overwhelming like in that way. But I really want a house in Dallas. That's our office like within the next year. And then I would run everything run out of there.
Yeah.
And then I would be doing dinner parties like from our house. Like would have people come in and cater
so
and stuff.
Oh my gosh, so cute.
And start doing like events there. So, I look on Zillow just for fun sometimes and I'm like, $17,000 a month. Like,
yeah.
That's obviously not what we're going for, but just fun to look.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well,
with the social club, is it just going to be in Dallas or are you expanding to like,
we'll expand. It's just easier obviously to do Dallas because one, I have a following in Dallas, like that will for sure be there. And two, I'm just like obviously already here, but I really want to go to Charleston, like just because I selfishly want to go to Charleston.
Have you been before?
No, and it's so me, and I feel like a friend of mine would do really well there.
You would love it.
I would love it there. Mm-hmm. We're gonna do New York. We'll definitely do Chicago. We'll do like a bunch Nashville. Of stuff. Yeah, Nashville. I think I'm doing that in August. Like we'll do a lot of events, like depending on my travel schedule. If I'm somewhere for a week, we might as well like do something, you know?
Yeah.
So that's it's exciting. Not only Dallas. Just like right now, we've only done Dallas.
I feel like Charleston is such a Kenzie place. Like, you should do a podcast live show there or something. Like, I feel like...
See, I just don't think I have an audience that lives in Charleston, though. Like, in an ideal world, I would love to do a Charleston live show. But I don't think that... Like, even... Like, sometimes I said it on TikTok recently, and there was comments of people being like, no, I do live in Charleston. There are people. I just don't know if there's, like, enough like, people. No, yeah, no, I'm like, I just don't... I don't know if there's like, enough people for that, you know? Mm-hmm.
No, that's valid. I feel like Charleston's actually a lot smaller than what people think, too. Like, people talk about it so much, and it is so cute, but the population of people that actually live there is probably a little bit smaller than what people think. I don't know. I've never been, so.
This is, like, off topic, but I have a friend who has a social club there, and I can put you in contact with her.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. I think I've seen her on TikTok.
Madeline Olweiler.
Probably. I just like have seen the TikToks. I think I probably follow her from that. Guys, by the way, if I follow someone on TikTok, like unless I'm commenting on stuff like every day, like I follow like so many people.
Me too. And I don't even know if I'm following them or not.
I have literally no idea. Yeah. Like, and I follow so many people because I like their like aesthetic or but I don't follow them because I'm like attached to them as a person necessarily. Yeah. And then over time I will. Like if I were to like follow that like girl and like pay attention, then I would be obsessed with her.
Yeah.
But I follow her and then it doesn't show up in my feed. So then I'm not able to like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now I'm that the I said way. That and I'll go like follow her, then I'll be like,
yeah, 1,000%. Something I want to ask you about. I feel like you've had so many different eras in your social media career, like just following you for a long time. I've seen so many different phases of Kenzie, which is something I really like about your brand, actually, because I feel like it shows people's ability to like change and grow and also shows that it's like okay to change and grow. Like, yeah. I feel like a lot of people online think they have to have this one aesthetic and then stick to it forever.
Mm-hmm.
So what would be like your advice for finding your personal style and like your personal aesthetic to like people who don't really like know what they want and know what their vibe is?
I found that the older I get, the more I am just like how I was as a child, minus I'm more outgoing now. Like I was actually really shy as a kid. I know
really?
It's shocking to everyone, but yeah, I was very shy and I run all the time. That's not surprising, but like even style wise, I dress like this is something like my dad's always laughing because he's like, you would have worn that when you were 5. Like everything that I'm wearing is just very me. But I feel like honestly, like even just like actual personal style of like clothing wise, I feel like in the past like 6 to 9 months, I've like really figured it out. And I like a lot of like Western. I like more like classy, traditional, less trendy, like when I would like go get like random trendy stuff from Revolve or whatever. But I think even just in like changing with the eras online, like I've had so many different eras where I've always been at the core, like, the same person. I just have been, I'm very extreme in everything that I do. Like, I'm very all in. I'm all or nothing.
I love that about you, though.
I love that, too.
It's, like, good, but it's also really bad. But, yeah, so, like, when I was younger and you're really just, like, trying to figure out who you are, like, I was really into things that just, like, I am not, you change. Like, everyone goes through that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know, a lot of like change, I'm like answering this in so many different ways, a lot of like evolving and changing in my life. Like my number one thing I always tell people to do is like, this is like really going all over the place, but morning pages, like I wake up and I honestly, by the way, I haven't done this in like 3 or 4 months, but it's great advice to myself as well. I used to do it every morning where you wake up and you write for 3 pages straight, and it doesn't matter, even if you're writing pen to paper, like I don't know what to talk about right now, like you get everything out, but it's really helpful because it gets things out of your brain that you would have ever thought about, and you like get to know yourself in like a very different way. Mm-hmm. But I'm really curious. I always ask a lot of questions, not in like the, when I was in school, like I wasn't that kid, but like one-on-one, I'm just like curious about like individual people. And if I like something, like I'll
like try it.
Try it out. Yeah. And then I feel like that's how I figured it out. I feel like people don't realize their like style, whether it's like literal like what they're mm-hmm. wearing or like they're as a person, mm-hmm. because they're like too afraid to like branch out and try something new. Yeah,
definitely.
You know? I just feel like so many people try to launch like brands, they start their own company, they want to like be an influencer or put themselves out there online, and the whole time it's almost like a facade, like they're doing what they think other people want to see. And I think it's really refreshing to see you like try so many different things because it's what you really wanted to try and what you're genuinely interested in. And now with like Friend of Mine and like the rebrand to House Guest with your podcast, it feels so authentic. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the way that you found that is by trying all those different things. And mm-hmm. so like, I don't know, I feel like it's been such a good example even for myself to learn like it's really okay to like change all the time and to grow and to try different things and to like change your style up.
I always say, like, if 16-year-old me could see 26-year-old me, she would be shocked. Like, I don't think she wouldn't be into it, but I think, like, I wouldn't think that I was living back in Texas, for one, which is crazy because, like, I have a Texas tattoo. I love Texas. I can see the Texan on TikTok. Like, I really do. And also, like, I'm a grandma. Like, I don't, like, go out and do things. I was wild when I was younger, which is, like, why, you know, I've gone into early retirement. But, yeah, I think I would just be really surprised. Like, I don't even... I don't know. I didn't necessarily see this coming. So I feel like I figured a lot of it out by just doing and then realizing like what I liked and what I didn't like, mm-hmm. you know?
No, that's so true. Especially the part, like it's always the kids that start going out so young that are grandmas by 25. Yes. Like that is my like personal experience. Like I had to retire. Like I had to.
Well, when I see like 30-year-olds like still like blacking out all the time, I'm like, how? Like my body like, no. can't handle that. Also, like my hangovers are 3 days long and same. Mentally
too.
No, like I literally am like I'm the worst person in the entire world. I mean, my moral hangover is so
scaries
bad.
Are so
I
bad.
Anxiety, like my anxiety is crippling. Like yes. I overthink everything I did the night before. I like text people and apologize. Same. I'm like a bear. I'm embarrassing. Like not even as a drunk, but as a hungover person. Like I'm embarrassing. Like no, I'm same. Like, and my friends are like, why are you apologizing for anything? And I'm like, no, because I
was an animal last night.
Yeah. Don't know but what like, I did and what I said. And they're like, you were normal. I'm like, oh, okay, sorry. It's just been a while.
But something about it, I hate the feeling of the next morning feeling like out of control. Like did I? Yes. Like one of my like best friends, she doesn't have any sort of anxiety. Like. She literally just doesn't care. She could have done the most embarrassing thing the night before. She's like, whatever. Like, it's so amazing, and I want to be like her.
I wish I could be that.
I would give anything, but I just can't be. But I love that she's like that. Like, I wish that I could. And it's so much funnier the way she handles it. Like, everything about how she handles it is better. Because, one, it's not serious. Two, she feels better. Three, everyone, no one else takes it seriously because she doesn't. And it's just funny, you
That's
know?
So true. It's not embarrassing unless you make it embarrassing. Yes. Like, 100%.
I try to, like, trick myself into thinking it wasn't that bad. But then the second I'm by myself, like, whenever I leave my friends the next day, I'm like, I really did it this time.
Yeah.
You really blew it out last night.
Yes. And at a certain point, I think I was just bored of my life like, being the same thing. Yeah. And, like, mm-hmm. But I also, like, I love going out. I really, but I just, at the end of the day, like, wanted to be doing other things. I wasn't even... actively trying to stop going out. I just started to like do other things in life that were like fulfilling. Mm-hmm. And then I just like ended up like kind of like phasing out of it. I still do, like I'll still go places and stuff, but not like how I was before.
Yeah. Wait, that's so true about going out. Like I feel like if you tried to make the conscious effort to stop mm-hmm. going out, then you would hate not going out. Like it yes. has to come about naturally.
Mm-hmm. It was so natural. I didn't even realize that I'd done yeah. it. And honestly, like I used to live on Henderson. So I was out all the time because I lived on Henderson. Yeah. And now I live like 10 minutes away, but that 10 minutes like really does something to me. I'm like, well, I'd really have to like get in an Uber and go yeah. do the whole thing. And, you know, and I like having like, I like waking up and going to the farmer's market. Like I want to do stuff like that. So it really has to like mean something to me. I do love day drinking though. Like that, I can go.
Yeah.
And then we're in bed by 8. Like,
yes. My like routine the next day is not ruined by day drinking the day yes. prior. Mm-hmm. My biggest thing, it's like going out, staying out late, going to bed drunk, all that stuff. It's like, I will not work out the next morning. I will not get up early. I will not do morning pages, whatever we yes. talked about. Like that's just thrown out the window for me. Like hungover Amanda will throw the whole day away. Like mm-hmm. I will. Like I me cannot too. Be a productive person hungover.
When I see people who are hungover and they go to like hot Pilates the next day yeah, or something,
that was never me.
It could just never ever be me. I don't care how high that cancellation fee is, and it's not even because like I have that money. It's because I would go.
I would die.
No, I would literally go into debt before I would go to that class because I could not handle the humiliation of, honestly, it's not even about humiliation. I don't want to physically throw up in front of everyone in that class. Like, I would, no, it's just not for me. I went to
Shine one time hungover.
That's what I'm thinking about. Absolutely I could never.
Absolutely not. I saw never. Jesus in that class. It was horrible.
No, one time I was talking to some of the teachers there and they had all gone out. Like, it was like, it was like their Christmas thing or something and they had to teach the next morning. And I was, like, knowing that you guys, like, were drinking. Like, even if I have a margarita, I'm like, oh, I don't know. It's looking a little rough over there.
Me too.
Like,
oh, we once two glasses of wine. Like, two glasses of wine, and I'm
done.
I'm done for. Like, I'm literally going to be mentally foggy the next day. I can't show up. I can't be there.
The mental fog. Like, I would say I just naturally am mental fog.
Like, I'm foggy every day anyway. I'm foggy
regardless, with or without the alcohol. So you add that in, and then it's just, like, game over.
Literally.
You know? Me. Mm-hmm. Wait, I'm curious. When you were living in L.A., do you feel like the going out scene was more prevalent than it is here in Texas?
Here's the thing. I love going out, but I love going out in Texas. Mm-hmm. I hate going out other places. I hated going out in LA. I really didn't. And I did like when I first moved there, like heavily, but I was so young. I was 17 when I moved to LA and I was like dating college guys. I turned 18 and then I was dating the college guys. And a lot of my going out was like USC frat life. It wasn't like, I would go out and other stuff, and like you naturally, there's just people whose families are in the industry, so you'd still go to that stuff, and I'd still go to like YouTube stuff. It was just different. But I hate going out in LA. I don't really like going out in New York either. Like I don't. Mm-hmm. It's just not my vibe. Like I love, in an ideal world, I'm at like a dive bar when I go out. Like I don't even like anything fancy. I'm not. And John really like fancy restaurants. Like I just don't like that stuff. So.
Yeah. You don't like fancy restaurants?
Like, if I go to one, it's never because I planned it. Like, I
interesting.
Like, I don't, like, go out of my way to go. I like it, but I'm not, like, I would be so fine going to Chili's, like, for everything. Like, I'm just not like that. Like, I don't know. I didn't grow up going to, like, fancy restaurants. My parents aren't like that. Like, my parents live in the middle of everything now.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm taking my dad to Nantucket this week. And, like, I had to go shopping with him this week and he had to buy a whole new wardrobe because he doesn't go do stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
Nantucket's not even fancy. It's really casual, but like my dad like wears like workout clothes. Like we just aren't like that.
Yeah. I don't know
how to describe it. So like I'll go and I think it's fun, but it's not like what I wouldn't like go out of my
it's
way.
It's not what you would choose.
Yeah. I wouldn't choose it, but I'm down to go.
Wait, can we please go to Chili's sometimes? I've never please. Been.
The Costa Blend Network's my favorite.
You've never been to Chili's? Been.
No.
That is honestly, that is crazy. Yeah, we'll go. You know, their headquarters are here. They've actually, yeah.
Really? We need to go. Because I've been meaning to pay them a visit.
It's all I get to talk to. I'm literally going to be like,
my first Chili's experience.
I can't believe you've not. I mean, I can, but I can't believe you've never been to Chili's.
She said, I mean, I can't.
That is crazy. I know how I've never been to Chili's.
I've never been.
Talked about going for so long. I've talked about it on this podcast.
Chili's is a it's like a suburbia life. Chili's is like, there's like the Chili's lore when you grow up in the suburbs. Like, yeah, but Chili's is so much better. Like, It's like a different experience. I Chili's regularly. Like, I know I've Chili's.
Are there Chili's in airports?
Yes.
Probably.
I think I've been to
airport food doesn't count. I wouldn't count that because you're not, like, picking it.
Yeah, we're not, like, getting a full experience. Like, I saw a TikTok and these people got in a party bus and went to Chili's. I feel like you would do that.
But by the way, I would love that. I've seen that TikTok too, and I think I probably commented. I love Chili's. When I was in LA, we didn't even think there was a Chili's anywhere near, and then there was one in Encino, turns out, which is like an hour outside. Like, it's still a drive.
Did you go?
And yeah, no, but not only did I go, I got 45 other people. It was like after a service that we were at. I got 45 other people to go to this Chili's all the way in Encino because it's all these people who like moved to LA who miss Chili's. Like, there's something about a chain restaurant that like I love. Like,
it just brings you home.
It brings me home. But here, like, I love Honor Bar, but Honor Bar is like,
Honor Bar is a chain, but
Honor Bar, but Honor Bar is like my ideal
like Dallas
restaurant. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to like have a night with the girls, like I don't need to go to like the really fancy, like, and I'm fine to go when I like them and like if like someone about, I like it, but like Honor Bar is still like so casual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Honor Bar is casual in my opinion too.
Honor Bar is kind of like a bougier Chili's in a way.
Okay.
You know, like,
she said it.
I wonder how they would feel about that comparison.
They're so offended and they would never ever agree, but cry. That's how I see it.
They're so mean. They're like
so rude. It's like they're so
mean. It's like they're trying to be mean.
No, they are. And also, I like will talk to like some of the like waiters and waitresses there. I like make friends, obviously. And sometimes they're so mean that like you can't even do that. And
no.
Like, I could talk to a wall. So
no,
like,
I agree.
A friend there, like, it's so bad, but when I do make friends there, they just all tell me that, like, well, I guess I shouldn't be spilling their tea on a podcast, but they don't like working there. The people are mean to them. Like, they like,
well, other people. Well, I would to be mean. Like, when you get hired there, I want to apply for a job there and, like,
just interview just to see if they're, like, yeah, so how do you feel about being mean to every customer? Like,
they might do that.
I really feel like they try.
Their job description is, like, be a bitch.
No, like, there's, like, cold-hearted three or four bitch. People there that are so nice. Like, my waiter on Saturday was amazing. But, like, they are so mean there. But here's the thing. I've said this, like, multiple times publicly. Like, every time I'm there, I'm, like, I'm just waiting for the day that, like, someone confronts me.
Don't get me wrong. I will be back next week. No, like, I'm going to keep going.
Like, that's my favorite margarita in Dallas. I'll be there.
They have an amazing Aperol spritz.
Oh, they do.
That's my favorite spritz. For this podcast was taken there.
Yeah, here we are just slamming them on the podcast. But it wasn't always like that. And even in college, like, I'm like an Honor Bar stan. Like, in college, every Sunday night, we would go to Honor Bar in Beverly Hills. So I've gone to Honor Bar pretty much almost weekly for probably the past 6-7 years. Like, I'm an Honor Bar
girl. She's a stan.
But they are so mean there now. It's crazy. But honestly, I like Hudson House better. I really do. Hudson House Lakewood is like my favorite.
I've never been to that one. I need to go to that one.
It's my favorite.
It's the coziest. It's the only Hudson House I haven't been to, somehow. There's like three or four. Then I recently went to the one in Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
That one, I mean,
everyone and their mother
for months. Like,
it's everyone that you've ever known your whole life, you'll see somehow in Fort Worth. I'm not even from there. Max, we'll see everyone Max knows. But, oh my God, it's like trying to get into... I don't even know what it's like. It's, like, the hottest ticket in town, though.
They, like, DM'd me and invited me to come in once, like, before they'd opened or something. So I was like, yeah, and I was trying to work out the dates, and the dates never were. But, like, we were trying, and then I think they, like, maybe ghosted me. That was it. And then I realized, like, they don't, like, first off, they don't need anyone to promote it. But second off, like, I don't think they even have any sort of opening for the next, like, year. Like, it's crazy.
No, it's crazy. It's literally crazy.
Yeah.
It's really
wild. But honestly, I DoorDash, which it's either Chili's or Hudson House, like, weekly.
Okay,
and I eat dinner with my dad a lot, and so I'll order for both of us, and it's always either we get Chili's or Hudson House.
We have to go to Chili's.
Yeah, we do need to go.
Can you take me?
But we'll go with Macy, too, because Macy would be so upset. She texted me last night asking if I wanted to go with her at Tabby to go get the molten lava cake, which is, I'll introduce you to it there. It's very important, but
she loves the sweet.
Oh, you'll love this. Oh, yeah. I'm like a big sugar person.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you'll love it. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe you've never been to Chili's. This is so crazy.
So I can't wait. I'm so excited.
There's like two types of people in the world. Ones who have literally spent their whole lives in childhood at Chili's and ones who have not.
My mom would like never let us go to Chili's growing up. Like, I remember asking to go and my mom be like, we're not going there. I'm not eating that. Chili's and McDonald's. She hated McDonald's. Yeah. It's like so un-American.
I'm obsessed with McDonald's
right now.
My
mom hated McDonald's too, but like we would still go.
I love it.
You know?
Well, I would go in college all the time. Like, I had to go. It was like, I don't know what I was doing driving by Chili's and not going in, but whatever. I need to redeem myself.
It's so good.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on this podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
This was like the best conversation.
I've loved
it. Full circle moment.
Yay, guys.